Why don't you laugh if you want to, Charlie? It's good for your inside.
Barbara, you have the education of a lady. Please let your father see that, and don't talk like a street girl.
Oh, never mind me, my dear. As you know, I'm not a gentleman. I was never educated.
No, nobody'd know it, I assure you. You look all right, you know.
Let me advise you to study Greek, Mr. Undershaft. Greek scholars are privileged men. Few of them know Greek, and none of them know anything else. But their position is unchallengeable. Other languages are the qualifications of waiters and commercial travelers. Greek is to a man of position what the hallmark is to silver.
Dolly, don't be insincere. Charlie, fetch your concertina and play something for us.
Perhaps that sort of thing isn't in your line, eh?
Oh, I am particularly fond of music.
Are you? Oh, then I'll get it.
Lomax goes upstairs for the instrument.
Do you play, Barbara?
Only the tambourine. But Charlie's teaching me the concertina.
Is Charlie also a member of the Salvation Army?
No. He says it's bad bench to be a dissenter. But I don't despair of Charlie. I made him come yesterday to a meeting at the dock gates and take the collection in his hat.
It is not my doing, Andrew. Barbara is old enough to take her own way. She has no father to advise her.
Oh, yes, she has. There are no orphans in the Salvation Army.
Your father there has a great many children. Plenty of experience, eh?
Just so. How did you come to understand that?
Lomax is heard at the door trying the concertina.
Come in, Charles. Play us something at once.
Righto!
Lomax sits down in his former place and prelude.
One moment, Mr. Lomax. I am rather interested in the Salvation Army. Its motto might be my own. Blood and fire.
But not your sort of blood and fire, you know.
My sort of blood cleanses. My sort of fire purifies.
So do ours. Come down tomorrow to my shelter, the West Ham shelter, and see what we're doing. We're going to a march to a great meeting in the Assembly Hall at Mile End. Come and see the shelter and then march with us. It will do you a lot of good. Can you play anything?
In my youth, I earned pennies and even shillings occasionally in the streets and in public house parlors by my natural talent for step dancing. Later on, I became a member of the Undershaft Orchestral Society and performed passably on the tenor trombone.
Oh, I say!
Many a sinner has played himself into heaven on the trombone, thanks to the army.
Yes, but what about the canon business, don't you know? Getting into heaven is not exactly in your line, is it, Mr. Undershaft?
Charles!
Well, but it stands to reason, don't it? The canon business may be necessary and all that. We can't get on without canons, but it isn't right, you know? On the other hand, there may be a certain amount of tosh about the Salvation Army. I belong to the established church myself, but still you can't deny that it's religion. And you can't go against religion, can you? At least, unless you're downright immoral, don't you know?
You hardly appreciate my position, Mr. Lomax.
But I'm not saying anything against you personally, you know.
No, quite so, quite so. But consider for a moment. Here I am, manufacturer of mutilation and murder. I find myself in especially amiable humor just now, because this morning, down at the foundry, we blew 27 dummy soldiers into fragments with a gun which formerly destroyed only 13.
Well, the more destructive war becomes, the sooner it'll be abolished, eh?
Not at all. The more destructive war becomes, the more fascinating we find it. No, Mr. Lomax, I'm obliged to you for making the usual excuse for my trade, but I am not ashamed of it. I am not one of those men who keep their morals and their business in watertight compartments. All the spare money my trade rivals spend on hospitals, cathedrals, and other receptacles for conscience money, I devote to experiments and researches in improved methods of destroying life and property. I've always done so, and I always shall. Therefore, your Christmas card moralities of peace on earth and goodwill among men are of no use to me. Your Christianity, which enjoins you to resist not evil and turn the other cheek, would make me a bankrupt. My morality, my religion, must have a place for cannons and torpedoes in it.
You speak as if there were half a dozen moralities and religions to choose from, instead of one true morality and one true religion.
For me, well, there is only one true morality. But it might not fit you, as you do not manufacture aerial battleships. There is only one true morality for every man. But every man has not the same true morality.
Would you mind saying that again? I didn't quite follow it.
It's quite simple. As Euripides says, one man's meat is another man's poison, morally as well as physically.
Precisely.
Oh, that. Yes, yes, yes. True, yes, true.
In other words, some men are honest and some are scoundrels.
Bosh. There are no scoundrels.
Indeed. Are there any good men?
No, not one. There are neither good men nor scoundrels. There are just children of one father, and the sooner they stop calling one another names, the better. You needn't talk to me. I know them. I've had scores of them through my hands. Scoundrels, criminals, infidels, philanthropists, missionaries, county councillors, all sorts. They're all just the same sort of sinner, and there's the same salvation ready for them all.
May I ask, have you ever saved a maker of cannons?
No. Will you let me try?
Well, I will make a bargain with you. If I go to see you tomorrow in your salvation shelter, will you come the day after to see me in my cannon works?
Take care. It may end in your giving up the cannons for the sake of the Salvation Army.
Are you sure? It will not end up your giving up the Salvation Army for the sake of the cannons.
I will take my chance of that.
And I will take my chance of the other.
They shake hands on it.
Where is your shelter?
In West Ham, at the sign of the cross. Ask anybody in Canningtown. Where are your works?
In Perryville St. Andrew, at the sign of the sword. Ask anybody in Europe.
Hadn't I better play something?
Yes. Give us onward, Christian soldiers.
Well, that's a rather strong order to begin with, don't you know? Suppose I sing Thou'rt Passing Hence, My Brother. It's much the same tune.
It's too melancholy. You get saved, Charlie, and you'll pass hence, my brother, without making such a fuss about it.
Really, Barbara, you go on as if religion were a pleasant subject. Do you have some sense of propriety?
I do not find it an unpleasant subject, my dear. It is the only one that capable people really care for.
Lady Britomart looks at her watch.
Well, if you are determined to have it, I insist on having it in a proper and respectable way. Charles, ring for prayers.
In the general amazement, Stephen rises in dismay. Lomax and Undershaft also stand.
Oh, I say.
I am afraid I must be going.
You cannot go now, Andrew. It would be most improper. Sit down. What will the servants think?
My dear, I have conscientious scruples. May I suggest a compromise? If Barbara will conduct a little service in the drawing room with Mr. Lomax as organist, I will attend it willingly. I will even take part if a trombone can be procured.
Don't mock, Andrew.
Barbara, you don't think I am mocking, my love, I hope?
No, of course not. And it wouldn't matter if you were. Half of the army came to their first meeting for a lark. Come along. Come, Dolly. Come, Charlie.
Barbara goes out with Undershaft, who opens the door for her. Cousins rises.
I will not be disobeyed by everybody. Adolphus, sit down. Charles, you may go. You are not fit for prayers. You cannot keep your countenance.
Oh, I say.
Lomax goes out.
But you, Adolphus, can behave yourself if you choose to. I insist on your staying.
My dear Lady Britt, there are things in the family prayer book that I couldn't bear to hear you say.
What things, pray?
Well, you would have to say, before all the servants, that we have done things that we ought not to have done, and left undone things we ought to have done, and that there is no health in us. I cannot bear to hear you doing yourself such an injustice, and Barbara such an injustice. As for myself, I flatly deny it. I have done my best. I shouldn't dare to marry Barbara. I couldn't look you in the face if it were true. So I must go to the drawing room.
Well, go.
Adolphus starts for the door.
And remember this, Adolphus.
Adolphus turns to listen.
I have a very strong suspicion that you went to the Salvation Army to worship Barbara and nothing else. And I quite appreciate the clever way in which you systematically humbug me. I have found you out. Take care Barbara doesn't, that's all.
Don't tell on me.
Adolphus goes out.
Sarah, if you want to go, go. Anything's better than to sit there as if you wished you were 1,000 miles away.
Very well, Mama.
Sarah goes. Lady Britomart, with a sudden flounce, gives way to a little gust of tears. Stephen goes to her.
Mother, what's the matter?
Lady Britomart swishes away her tears with her handkerchief.
Nothing. Foolishness. You can go with them too, if you like, and leave me with the servants.
Oh, you mustn't think that, Mother. I don't like him.
The others do. That is the injustice of a woman's lot. A woman has to bring up her children. That means to restrain them, To deny them things they want, to set them tasks, to punish them when they do wrong, to do all the unpleasant things. And then the father, who has nothing to do but pet them and spoil them, comes in when all her work is done and steals their affection from her.
He has not stolen our affection from you. It's only curiosity.
I won't be consoled, Stephen. There's nothing the matter with me.
Lady Britomart rises and goes towards the door.
Where are you going, Mother?
To the drawing room, of course.
Onward, Christian soldiers, on the concertina with tambourine accompaniment, is heard when the door opens.
Are you coming, Stephen?
No, certainly not.
Lady Britomart goes. Stephen sits down on the settee with compressed lips and an expression of strong dislike.